Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. And we're back.
Da, 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 da.
What are we talking about? What are we talking about today?
What are we talking about today?
We're talking about Rogue One today.
That's what I picked. Star Wars. Mm-hmm. A Star Wars story.
My favorite Star Wars movie. Yes. But before we get into Rogue One, let's do another round of which movie is it?
Which movie is it?
Are you ready?
You got it? You got it? I'm going to cheat.
No, you can't cheat. No cheating. Okay. I never look back, darling. It distracts from the now.
It's The Incredibles.
Yes. Oh, you didn't let me say the others. Okay.
No, say the others.
Okay. Your identity is your most valuable possession. Protect it.
The Incredibles.
Mm-hmm. I used to design for gods. And then the last one was just no capes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I know that one.
All right, you got that one. That's good. All right. So, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, 2016. Does it seem like that long ago?
Yeah. I don't even think I watched it when it came out in theaters.
I don't think I did. I think I waited for it to come on, like, the red box or whatever we were doing at the time.
I mean, I might have been gone by then.
I don't remember. You know, the years kind of passed by together. But directed by Gareth Edwards. Story by John Knoll and Gary Whitta. Starring Felicity Jones, Diego Luna, Donnie Yen, and Mads Mikkelsen. To name a few. I got some trivia. Would you like to hear?
Hit me with some trivia.
Okay. So, Diego Luna, who plays Cassian Andor, improvised K2's slap across Cassian's face on Jedha. And Alan Tudyk improvised the line. And there's a fresh one.
Wait, how did he improvise it? Was he doing his line and all of a sudden he like snapped his head back and everyone was like, what did you do? It's like, he just hit me.
Right, he just slapped me, yeah. Because the same thing happened in Harry Potter Chamber of Secrets when Lucius Malfoy, like, he kicks his leg forward and they said, what are you doing? He said, I just kicked Dobby down the stairs. And that's how Dobby ended up getting, like, kicked down those steps.
Look at that. It's his fault that the producers had to shell out like another $30,000.
Yeah. Which, I mean, for the time, that was a lot. That was a lot for the time. But it was creative because it got the point across that the Malfoys are not very nice.
I know. They were making them out too nice.
Yeah.
I see what you did.
Yeah. Okay. So, because much of the film was shot at Pinewood Studios near Wembley, where Riz Ahmed grew up, Riz spent most of the shoot living at his parents' house.
Heck yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. Right, you don't have to, you know. But then, did he still get per diem?
I wouldn't have said nothing. I would have waited until after the movie was over.
Like,
and
oh,
I would
have
said, I stayed at my mama's house.
Right. That's pretty funny. Carrie Fisher and Kenny Baker, who was R2-D2, and Drew Henley, who was Red Leader, all passed away in 2016. Mm. So this year came out the same year that they all passed away. Oh, and then I did have in my trivia. Warwick Davis, the Star Wars veteran actor, plays Weetief Kybi, one of the Saw Gerrera's militia members. I remember I pointed out the little kind of peach orangey guy. All right. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, so the film begins with the traditional text a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but we instantly leap into the action. We start off with fighting. In the early years of the Galactic Empire, we see an Imperial ship landing on the planet Lamu. Lamu?
Lamu.
Lamu?
Lamumu.
Jyn Erso sees it and then runs to warn her father, Galen Erso, and mother, Lyra Erso. Lyra calls Saw Gerrera and tells him that he's come for us.
He's come for me.
Galen says goodbye to his daughter and tells her that he loves her, calling her Stardust, as he heads off alone to face the Empire. And Jyn and her mother run to the foothills behind the farmhouse. They stop, and Lyra asks Jyn if she knows where to go. And then she takes off her necklace, which is like a queer crystal.
Kyber crystal.
Yeah. she gives it to Jyn. She puts it around her neck as a way of like saying goodbye, and she tells her to trust the Force. Now, my question at this point is, would it have been possible for Jyn's mother to have gone with her?
No, because it wouldn't have worked out for the plot. They probably just didn't have enough money. They were like, we're not going to pay you for, you know, 20 more lines of dialogue.
Oh, that's sad. Well, maybe they should have done some other cuts.
Because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. She's going to sit here and she's going to pull a pistol out, because that's what she does. She's like, she pulls a pistol out. She's like, you can't take him. Like, oh, no, it's the Empire.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it didn't quite make sense to me in the sense of, like, what are you going to do, lady?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Why didn't you just go with your daughter, and then she could have at least had one parent with her?
Yeah. Yeah. She's selfish.
I don't know. But yeah, that was my question at that point. But yeah, so outside, Galen meets with Orson Krennic, a high-ranking Imperial military officer, who tries to get Galen to come back to work for the Empire, and he asks about his family, and Galen lies that his wife is dead. When Orson tells his stormtrooper bodyguards to check the house, Lyra appears and then draws a weapon, and yeah, she's then killed. And a stormtrooper toy is discovered, and Krennic tells his guards to find Galen's daughter. And Jyn runs away and hides in a cave, which I don't know if she was, like, fully expecting, like, people to come for her. I would have probably been scared that people would have just left me there to die in that little hole.
Mm-hmm. No, he's been training his daughter to be ready.
I guess. To be ready. But she also had a stormtrooper toy.
Well, hey, you gotta. You know, have a toy.
Do you think they were just selling them at the local gift shop?
Yeah, they just have it at the local gift shop. You know, it's not like they got Superman in this universe, so you got a stormtrooper.
That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. That's funny. Yeah, so she ends up there, but she ends up getting found by Saw Gerrera, and he rescues her and takes her with him. And then we fast forward to 15 years later. In the Ring of Kaffreen, an adult Jyn is held in a cell. Meanwhile, commanders of the Rebel Alliance, led by Mon Mothma, a senator of the Old Republic, Senate-turned-Imperial-Senate, discusses the Empire's plan to create a giant weapon capable of destroying entire planets. On the planet Jeddah, Bodhi Rook, a pilot who has defected from the Empire and wants to join the rebels, arrives and is held by the local forces there. On the planet Wobani, Jyn is being transferred with other prisoners. But then all of a sudden, the rebel forces break in and free them. Now, my curiosity was, like, did they know that she was there? Like, it was planned, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, good. Because like, otherwise, it's like, how did you know you were choosing the right transfer?
They knew they needed her to get to Saw Gerrera. Because, mm-hmm. you know, he's part of the rebellion, but he's like a radical rebellion.
Mm-hmm. Rebel. He's like an extremist, I guess is what they call it. An extremist rebellion type of individual. But yeah, so they're able to take her away. And that's when we first meet at K2. And he's been repurposed. He's an Imperial droid who's been repurposed to work for the Rebellion. And on the moon Yavin 4, the location of the Rebel base of operations, Mon Mothma and the other Rebel leaders talk to Jyn about her father. She says that she last saw her dad 15 years ago, and the Rebels ask her about Saw Gerrera, where he is, saying that he's causing problems, and they offer her a deal. Find Saw, and she's free to go. As Jin boards the ship, taking her to Jeddah with K2, and then she also meets Cassian Andor, the pilot. Mm-hmm. Cassian is told to kill their target and not perform any extraction. So that's kind of when we get into that mindset of like, well, maybe it was a trap to kill Saw Gerrera at that time. But I don't think she was fully aware of what was going on.
Was it Saw Gerrera?
At this point, yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure it was all Galen.
Well, no, they were planning to kill him too. No, I'm pretty sure that they were planning to kill Saw, weren't they? Unless I just misinterpreted that. I thought they were planning to kill him and her dad.
No, I'm pretty sure it was just her dad.
Okay, good. Well, anyway, they make it there. Bodhi's confronted by Saw, who now has a prosthetic leg and uses a oxygen mask to breathe. And Saw doesn't believe Bodhi's story and interrogates him, eventually bringing in a boar gullet, which is like a tentacled creature that starts to, like, I don't know.
Big, ugly-looking octopus.
Yeah, to read his mind. And I guess, like, I don't know. It messes with his head, I think. Like, well, all of that.
I don't think it messes with his head. I think he was just traumatized. Well, that I'd be too. Traumatized.
Well, yeah, that too. But yeah, anyway. So aboard an Imperial Star Destroyer, Krennic discusses with Grand Moff Tarkin, the Imperial Governor of the Outlying Areas. The very, very dry-skinned looking guy.
Very dry-skinned.
He looks guy. So dry-skinned. Like, he needs to moisturize his face. But, yeah, so he's there, and they're talking about what's happening. And overall, the ultimate weapon they're creating. Krennic urges that they perform a test, you know, to verify that it works, I guess. Meanwhile, Jin, K2, and Cassian arrive at Jeddah. K2 is told to wait at the ship. And while Cassian scouts the area, Jin is approached by Chirrut Imwe, a blind warrior who notices her necklace and the quality of the stone. And later, when Jin and Cassian roam the city, they notice snipers, and the area quickly erupts into a big old fight.
Big old fight.
And the rebel and Empire forces fight, and while Jin and Cassian take care of the stormtrooper, K2 arrives and defeats the last set of the stormtroopers that arrive. And as they leave the area, they run into another squad of stormtroopers who want to detain them. And Chirrut tries asking the stormtroopers to let them go, but is attacked by them. And then he kind of ends up essentially beating them up with a little help from Baze Malbus. But they're captured by Saw's crew, and they're all taken.
Yeah, they get captured because mm-hmm. Cassian kills one of them because it was going to blow up the... that transport.
Mm-hmm.
That, what's her name? That Jin was hiding behind.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, Cassian, Chirrut, and Baze are in a cell. They quickly notice that Bodhi is in the cell next to them, and Jin is brought directly to Saw, and Saw is surprised to see Jin. But Jin instantly confronts him about abandoning her when she was 16. And Saw replies that he did it to give her the best chance, and suspects that Jin was being told to head there to kill him. So that's why I interpret it that way, because he took it that way. Like, that it was a trap. But
it's a trap.
But do you think that Saw actually cared for Jin?
No.
I do, actually. Mm-mm. I think so.
The only thing he cares about is the war against the Empire.
Because I think that had we learned a little bit more about, like, her parents' background, I think that they were good friends with Saw. And that she was taken care of because of that relationship, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. So Jin says that she wants nothing to do with the rebellion at all. And Tarkin makes the decision to test the super laser on Jeddah, and a course is plotted to go there. Saw then shows Jin a hologram sent by her father, and this is the part that gets me every time.
I know.
It gets me emotional every time. I mean, you know how I love a good film that talks about the relationship between, you know, a father and a daughter, so I get emotional with that anyway. But it confirms what she hoped to believe, I think, which was my father didn't leave me just to work for the Empire again. You know, he essentially made sure that he was indispensable. Like, I'm the only person that can do this. So that way he could create a flaw within the Death Star. Mm-hmm. So that way there would be hope to destroy it. You know? Which I think, all in all, like, I think that in itself is a good idea.
This is the message I was sent.
So, if you are watching this, then perhaps there's a chance to save the Alliance. Perhaps there's a chance to explain myself, and though I don't dare hope for too much, a chance for Jen, if she's alive, if you can possibly find her, to let her know that my love for her has never faded, and how desperately I've missed her. Jen, my Stardust. I can't imagine what you think of me. When I was taken, I faced some bitter truths. I was told that soon enough Krennic would have you as well. As time went by, I knew that you were either dead or so well hidden that he would never find you. I knew if I refused to work, if I took my own life, it would only be a matter of time before Krennic realized he no longer needed me to complete the project.
You know, even though I'm sure it would stink to have to work again for something you don't want to continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. I know, especially on that planet. It was all rainy.
Does it rain all the time? I don't know. It looked all dark and gloomy. There was probably no sun ever. I don't know. But yeah, so he essentially explains in the hologram that, you know, he's sorry for having to, you know, to do this. And he kind of encourages her to fight to save the rebellion and save the dream.
The dream.
And then the Death Star attacks Jedha, firing onto the surface and destroying, like, all of the structure. And so Tru, Bodhi, and Baze head to the ship while Cassian gets Jin. Saw acknowledges his weakness and tells her to leave him, you know, to save herself. And this kind of makes me sad, too, because I was like, well, if I'm to believe that Saw really did care about her, then she just lost, you know, a father figure. Like, that's sad. But yeah, so he
she ends has up, a parent in the Force.
You know, he stays, goes out like a G, and they fly off. And so with that test being successful, Governor Tarkin decides to claim all of the credit, shutting out Krennic as director of the project.
Ooh, I saw that coming too. I knew he was going to do that. Mm-hmm. I knew he was going to do it.
You should have known then. But yeah, Tarkin threatens Krennic should he protest against his policies. And then on the ship, Cassian is secretly given instructions to kill Galen if they find him. So on the ship, they discuss Jin's report of the hologram, but as she's left it behind in Jedha, there's no proof necessarily that it occurred. Like, I guess she didn't, you know, take it with her before it was all destroyed, I guess. You know, so it's just her word.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, all of a sudden the earth starts shaking. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. But she was the only one that heard it at the time, so, you know. But yeah, on Edu, the crew crash lands their ship. As Cassian and Bodhi head out, Jin questions Cassian's motives. Upon hearing K2 say that Cassian's weapon was in sniper mode. So yeah. She heads out there. Because she doesn't trust him. I mean,
that could be like some paranoia and stuff like that. Maybe he's just wanting to be prepared. What if he comes across troopers and he can't get past them, so he goes pew 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 pew.
I mean, I guess. But I think overall she felt like he was not telling her anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So I think she was already having this level of distrust for Cassian. And he didn't seem very trustworthy for the longest time. Deception. Yes. Yes. So, nearby at the Edu mining facility, Krennic is interrogating Galen and six other engineers working for the Empire because he believes one of them is secretly working for the rebels, and he essentially tries to get, you know, who is doing the betrayal, otherwise I'm going to kill all of you, you know, 1, 2, 3, and Galen gives himself up and says, it's me, I did it, and then he kills him anyway. He kills everybody anyway.
He just did it just because he could.
Yeah, so Jin calls out to her father after, you know, Cassian starts to, you know, set things off. Things are going on. People are fighting. But yeah, so, Jin yells to her father, and he gets father! Like, yes, and he gets badly injured. And she tearfully, I guess, says goodbye, I guess, you know, before he passes on, from being injured, you know, essentially saying like, you know, you can do this. Like you got this.
You can do
it. You can do it, you know. And Cassian pulls her from his body and they all head out. On the ship, Jin is very, very upset at Cassian, you know, saying that you lied to me, you know, how could you, all of that stuff. And Cassian replies that everyone has lost something for the rebellion and that she only truly started to care because of her father. And there is a level of truth to that.
There's some truth to that.
Because of the fact that she even told Saw, like, Saw was like, you're not for the cause, you know, and she's like, what cause? Like, the Empire rules everything. What am I supposed to do about it? I just do what I gotta do and just don't look up, I guess, you know? But I do think that it did take her father dying, you know, for her to understand that there is a chance to fight. And if you have that chance, why not?
So if he would have lived, she wouldn't have joined the fight, would she?
Probably not. She probably would have just gone into hiding with him, you know, and just had to deal with the Empire, you know. But yeah, it took him dying for her to really realize that, okay, we've got to stop this whole thing. We've got to fight against this. So Krennic arrives on the planet Mustafar and reports to the Emperor's chief enforcer, Darth Vader. Still voiced by James Earl Jones. He re-recorded for his character. And Krennic believes that he deserves to meet directly with the Emperor to talk about the station's completion and the destructive potential. And Darth Vader becomes agitated, which I would be also, because it seems like a little
problem. Oh, he wasn't agitated.
I would have been agitated.
He was just like, I'm just going to force choke you.
Yeah, so he claims that the space station has begun to cause problems and that utmost secrecy must be maintained, and the destruction of Jedha will be attributed to a mining accident, and Krennic must investigate further to see if Galen Erso had compromised the security of the station. And when Krennic asks if he's still in charge of the project, Vader starts to choke him. Mm-hmm. Like, please, sir. You're in charge of nothing. So they go back. All of the rebels go back to Yavin 4 to have a meeting about what happened. You see Senator Bail Organa's there. General Dodona's there. And they're all doubtful of Jin's story and the credibility, I guess. And Jin proposes to infiltrate the Empire's data storage facility on Scarif and get the plans for the Death Star. She fails to get approval. Because I guess they said that the risks are too great, but...
The risks are too great.
But aren't all of the things that they're doing have great risks?
Yeah. Great risk has great rewards.
I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, why not? And then they all end up coming anyway, so I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, so Senator Organa then leaves to travel back to his home world of Alderaan to have a talk with his adopted daughter to try to help and seek out former Clone War veteran who may help out the Alliance. So outside...
I missed that part.
Yeah, you missed that part?
I missed that part.
Yeah. Outside, I think that was when he was talking to Mon Mothma.
Mon Mothma.
Yeah. And then outside, Cassian approaches Jin about the mission. A dozen other rebel fighters decide to join them, and they're essentially about to take off, and then they get, like, a notice over the intercom, like, hey, what are you doing? What's happening? You're not supposed to be on there.
I do what I want. You're not going to shoot me down.
What's your call sign? And they say, Rogue One. That's who we are.
Rogue One.
Mm-hmm. And at Scarif, Bodhi uses his old Imperial passwords, which you would think that they would want to change them, like, every day.
It's a movie.
It's not peacetime. It's a movie. You know? Change your...
change your passwords. That would have been changed as soon as, you know, they were notified of his defection.
Right, right. Be like, make sure that he doesn't have passwords. But yeah, he uses his passwords to get through the gate. And then K2, Jin, and Cassian head into the facility to get the plans. And then they kind of, like, they hide by the inspectors that had come on board. They use their uniforms to, like, sneak in.
That just happened to fit.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. That's always it, isn't it? You would think that one of them would be, like, too big or too small. But, yeah, so they get inside. Director Krennic arrives on Scarif at the same time. And the rebels quickly detonate some explosives all over the island. Which we also mentioned that, like, Scarif looks, like, beautiful. It's, like, it looks, like, tropical, like a beach city.
I would want to be stationed there and fire an Imperial trooper. I'd be like, what? I get to go to Scarif?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Go to the beach.
Just not during that time period.
Right, right.
I'll wait until after.
After there's nothing, but... Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, they only, like, destroyed a portion of the planet, not the whole planet.
Ooh. I mean, what is left of the side of the planet? I don't know. I guess it'd be interesting to see what it looks like after.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a movie. It's still beautiful. It didn't affect the weather or anything.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the rebels quickly detonate those explosives, so things start going off, and Jin and Cassian enter the data storage area. To find the plans. And K2 helps them essentially through the console on the other side of the door to be able to find exactly where its location is exactly, because there's so many records. Apparently they keep everything, which, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, they eventually are able to identify the plans under the code name of Jin's nickname that her father had given her, which is Stardust.
Stardust.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so they find the files. K2 notes that the force field and tells them to deliver the plans by getting the physical media themselves. Meanwhile, the shield has officially, like, come up and still up there.
Closed it.
Yeah, so whatever remainder of the rebel, you know, fleet that was coming through, they stopped coming through because of that shield. And you mentioned that they weren't doing a very good job of trying to get the shield down.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't make no sense to me. Because clearly the thing controlling the shield was that ring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're over there, and they kind of bombed it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you got all these ships. You should have been focusing all of your firepower to destroy that ring. And mm-hmm. then guess what? There would have been no shield anymore. Then you have to worry about that no mm-hmm. more.
Yeah, no, that
but
makes sense.
But it's a movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they're still up there trying to get through the shield or whatever, and K2 has to fight off all these stormtroopers, and he doesn't make it. And it's actually quite sad.
I know.
It's very sad. Yeah, but he essentially, you know, he is able to help them as best he could. Meanwhile, everybody's still outside battling the AT&Ts.
The AT&Ts.
That's what I call them. I can't call them AT-ATs for some reason. I keep calling them AT&Ts. But they're out there fighting. And yeah, one of the things that they have to do to be able to, like, transmit the message about the shield is they have to connect, I guess, to the communication system?
Yeah, to the Scarif base's, like, main communication system. That's the only way that they can broadcast
mm-hmm.
out with the shield.
Mm-hmm. But they also have to not only connect it with this big old cable, like, they have to switch this, like, main switch.
Yeah, the master switch.
Master switch, yeah. So they have to get through all that. A couple more people die. A whole bunch more people die during that process. But Bodhi is able to get, essentially, the message that, hey, you need to get that shield. This is how to do it. And then that's it for him.
Yeah, he gets blown it up.
Right after that. Yep. So, but yeah, Baze also ends up dying after Chirrut's sacrifice when he went out there to get the Master Switch, and then he passes. And
yep, he gets blown up too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so a lot of people die. Jin and what's his name? I just forgot it. Oh, Jin. Jin and Cassian are climbing up the big old Tower of Records. And Krennic is after them, shooting at them. Mm-hmm. But they're able to get through. But I'm pretty sure, yeah, at some point, Cassian gets shot at and falls.
He falls down.
Mm-hmm. But Jin keeps going all the way up. So she makes it to the top, and she's about to transmit the message manually, but then it gives her an error message.
Yeah. Satellite unaligned.
Yeah, it's like reset.
Whatever.
Reset satellite alignment or something like that. So she has to go all the way out to like the edge to reset the satellite alignment. But yeah, anyway, at some point, the Rebel fleet up top in space are able to crash into one of the big ships and make it crash into the other ship to then like force down and crush that force field. Mm-hmm. So they're able to get through. They're able to continue fighting. Krennic continues to follow Jin and is about to shoot her. And then bam!
Cassian's still alive!
Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was dead. Like, I kind of saw that coming. I was like, yeah. I did not think he was... That was not that long of a fall. The only other thing I could have thought is, okay, maybe he did get shot or something. But I thought he could have still kept moving. But, yeah, anyway. So, they're able to completely transmit the plans up top. But by that point, the Death Star has made its way there. And they're starting to destroy the planet. So, by the time, I guess, they walk all the way down the tower... they can see the explosion on the horizon.
Yeah, it's coming towards them.
It's it's epic.
They died lovers.
I don't think that they were lovers.
They were lovers.
I don't think so.
They had those looks.
They had those looks. I don't think so. I think they were just like comrades.
Yeah, comrades in love.
Yeah. But anyway, on board Radish ship, the Rebels frantically copy the plans to a data card, and then the ship is boarded by Darth Vader.
By Darth Vader.
Yep, so he ignites his lightsaber, and he's killing everybody, and the planes are being passed by, you know, Rebel soldier to Rebel soldier, like, trying to get it where it needs to go. And then, all of a sudden, the last, like, small ship is out and away, escapes. Mm-hmm. And you kind of get this, like, image of Darth Vader just looking into space. All scary-like. But yeah, on the Tantive, the data card is brought to the bridge, by Captain Ramus Antilles, where a young Princess Leia, is asked to, like, what is that? Like, what is this data card? And she turns around and says, it's hope. And then the ship jumps to hyperspace. And that's the end of the movie.
The end.
The end. So how should we rate this?
Out of 5 kyber crystals.
Out of 5 kyber crystals?
Yeah.
I'll give it 5 crystals.
I'll give it 6.
It's so good. There's so much action. There's so many thrills. The dialogue is great. Oh, it's good. It's just so good. Like, the writing of it, the acting of it, you know, I don't feel like there was a single person that I felt like, you know, you're not pulling your weight, you know? I felt like everybody did so good. And then also we get to see R2-D2 and C-3PO, just randomly, just there. Mm-hmm. So, I definitely give it 5 out of 5 crystals. Who was the best and who was the worst?
Who was the best? Chirrut was the best.
Chirrut? I did like Chirrut. Who was the best for me? Who did I really like? I really liked K2.
He's pretty cool.
I really liked him. I thought he, you know, obviously, like, he was reprogrammed, but I think he had it in him all along.
He had it.
Yes. plus, I loved his sassiness. I liked when he was approached by the stormtroopers who said that they were going to do a diagnostic for him, for his behavior, I guess. And he was like, please, I think I can run my own diagnostics. Thank you. I like that sassiness. So rude. It's like, ugh, please. But who was the worst? Krennic was the worst for me.
He's pretty bad.
He was bad. And I feel like he was still, like, overcome by his incompetence. And I don't know if it was fully his incompetence or maybe just his underestimation. Like, he underestimated Jin a lot in this movie.
I would just kill everybody.
But yes, great film. One of my faves. Like to rewatch it pretty regularly. What are we doing next?
That's a good question. We'll make it a surprise because I wasn't thinking about it.
That's cool.
Because I don't know.
That's all right. All right, well, we'll catch you later.
Catch you on the flip side.